Off the Ball, GAA.
It would be good if Cork supporters and Cork people could treat him like their grandchildren, you know, as a grandparent and not a parent. So, because you can't disappoint your grandparent.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Get in the YouTube chat or fire us a WhatsApp voice note. Your comments live on OTB Breakfast.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
There was supposed to have been a funeral in the local church. Now, I don't know whether there was or not. I saw people standing around the church. We didn't get off the truck because we couldn't get off the bloody truck. So the story goes that the priest said, while any member of that team lives, Mayo will never again win All Ireland. And that's supposed to be the course.
Oh, the green and red Mayo, I can see it still.
Our county have been starved the last 4 or 5 years. If they go a bit nuts, let them. You're going to go to a game tomorrow. Every single one of you are going to write the Kerry or Dublin are going to win the All Ireland final, right? Right? Does anyone here think we're going to win the All Ireland final? No, thank you.
This is sensational. This is mind-boggling. This is a point. 75 years of heartbreak are about to end. 1936, 1950, 1951, and surely now 2026. Listen to the roar. 5 years of heartbreak is over.
I've never lost a game of football. Like, people getting excited, supporters enjoying themselves. Never lost anyone a game of football.
We're 45 yards from the Kerry goal. It's Kobe. He's got Tommy Conroy. Tommy Conroy's in for the goal. He's got Kobe. Yeah! Tommy Conroy! Oh my God! He sent it over the bar. Oh my God! Delirium!
Delirium! Mayo by three! They've done it! Won the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship title.
Oh, take me to Clare. And as I was saying, if you give the crowd energy, they'll give it to you back. They get right, give it to you in spades. The crowd is unbelievable. They got it through so many tough days this year. I feel like I'm dreaming. I keep on having to pinch myself.
To every young boy and girl across Mayo and our diaspora across the world, never stop dreaming. Stick your chest out and be proud to be from Mayo.
This hasn't happened in 7 decades and 5. Generations of Mayo people have lived and died and not seen what you are now seeing on your television screens. But you are here, wherever you are in the world right now. You are with us in Cork High. This is happening.
I'd be lying if I said at 69 minutes there I didn't say a little prayer to Jono. Jono's team was here, it's 25 years. My mentor, my friend, he tried twice at us. And when 69 went, I looked up, we have a little friend called Aidan Drake, who passed away last year, and Jono. And I have to say, I said a little one, I said, Jono, if I need you, it's now. And he came up with the gun.
Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore.
27 years ago, Neil Armstrong was the first man to land on the moon. And he uttered the immortal phrase, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. Today, this is a giant step for Mayo football. This is remarkable.
Mayo are back.
There was supposed to have been a funeral in the local church. Now, I don't know whether there was or not. I saw people standing...
1936 against Leash, 1950 against Louth, 1951 against Meath, and 2026 against Kerry. The running order has been ripped up. Alf has been deferred. Mayo are the All-Ireland Senior Football Champions for the first time in 75 years. Producer Endacall, who made that montage for you, he is back. Good morning.
Good morning. What a day.
What a day. Dara Smith-Nocton, who will momentarily get his opportunity to run his lap of honour.
This isn't about me. Look. Come on now. Hello, Colin.
And good the morning. Ex Roscommon captain, Donny Smith, is in situ. Not to rub this in, of course. It's a happy day for everyone.
It is.
Except for Kerry people, of course. 3 months to the day it was, to the day that Mayo lost to Roscommon in the semi-final of the Connacht Championship.
That's right, yeah. I was actually looking at that yesterday or the day, but you can't have anything but just admiration for the Mayo boys. Like, I never thought I'd be saying this, but I'm actually delighted for them and delighted for Andy and the management team, because they deserved to win that yesterday. I think they played so well that their performance was deserving of lifting Sam Maguire. And the crazy thing is, they should have won by far more. Like, they were superior all over the pitch. And, like, you have to remember, after 7 or 8 minutes, it was 1-5 to a point. You're thinking, 2004, 2006, here we go again. And to just keep playing the way that they wanted to play, I think that showed huge character, huge balls, and they deserve so much credit for that.
Get your comments rolling in this morning. Breakfast@offtheball.com is where you hit us on the email, 0879 180 180, on WhatsApp and on YouTube. Fly them in. We'll get to as many as possible. We're here in Dublin. Matthew Brennan is on the ground in Mayo. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, lads. How are we getting on? An early start, but no better occasion. It's pretty much exactly as I thought it would be down here. Incredibly quiet, but it's very much the calm before the storm.
Yeah, scene from 28 days later there to start with Killian Murphy. Where are you exactly?
I'm in Ballyhaunis at this current moment in time. I'm going to make a bit of I did a pilgrimage to Prague a couple of months ago. I'll be doing a bit of a pilgrimage to Mayo today. I'm going to head over to Ballinrobe when I'm finished up here. I called into a few shops that were opening their doors a little bit, I'd say a few minutes later than they normally would, and the people were very hesitant to talk. I think there's after been a long night of partying in Mayo, and there'll be another few long nights ahead of them too.
So you've had quite the last 24 hours. You were working away here in the Dublin office yesterday. The final whistle goes and plans are made. What happened next?
I actually wasn't in the Dublin office yesterday. I sort of had a bit of a preempting that Mayo were going to win. No, I didn't at all. It caught us all by surprise. But I was working at home. I'm a Westmead man myself, so a little bit closer to Mayo than Dublin is, but not all that close in the same breath. So I got the call last night to confirmation to head down, and I'm not here that long. About a 2-hour drive or so through Westmead, obviously, to begin with, into Longford through Roscommon. And the weird thing about it was the amount of Mayo flags that I saw absolutely everywhere, not just in Mayo. Outside of one place, actually, funny enough for you, Donny, there wasn't too many Mayo flags in Boyle when I drove through there. So,
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, not too surprised at all. But it seems as though the Mayo diaspora kind of transcends any other diasporas, I think, around the country of Ireland, based off what I've seen this morning anyway. There's a general warmth, I think, from everyone outside of Mayo towards them. So some game yesterday as well, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. Incredible. I've never seen the likes of it. What's the plan for today? Like, what are you hoping to get here?
Well, ideally a few people start talking to me as the morning grows on a little bit, you know, and the throats start to clear up a wee bit. But I just want to see what they're feeling. I want to see what they're thinking. We've got loads going to be coming across today as well, I suppose, outside of our own show. We're going to have the evening show down at McHale Park later on as well. So I think over the course of the next couple of days, pretty much all of Mayo is going to be explored. Myself, I don't know. I'll just see where the road takes me. It's taken me this far. I don't plan on getting back to Dublin anytime soon, I can assure you that.
Lovely stuff. Matthew, we might let you go. We're going to come back to you throughout the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, enjoy. I'll try to catch a few people and bring them back to you.
Thanks a bit. That's Matthew Brennan on the ground in Mayo. First, we'll have Tommy Rooney at the winning team hotel as well in a few minutes' time. We're going to have as many people as possible. Sarah Rowe as well is going to be live from Melbourne talking about the victory. It's
quite hard to get
celebration.
Quite hard to get people from Mayo this morning, Colm.
We may have had certain people confirmed who texted us at 6:30 saying, I'm still out, I'm going home, it's probably not going to happen this morning. But that's okay. We're all here to celebrate in the meantime.
Early morning text going in saying, if you're alive, let me know. Between 7:30 and 10.
I am legend Will Smith's clarion call. Yes, yeah. If anyone's out there.
I was driving in here about 4 in the morning this morning, and Drumcondra still has a few lads walking around the place like a zombie apocalypse movie. Drove past the hotel that Mayo are staying in and where Tommy Rooney's going to be phoning in from very shortly. Not too many signs of life around that hotel so far. So yeah, today's going to be an interesting show. We'll do our best to try to get as many Mayo fans and ex-people and people who feel sympathetic to the cause over Mayo over the last couple of years.
Yep. Well, we have absolutely plenty to get through here. We'll have Donny in studio to throughout the show to review the actual game itself, because it wasn't just a victory. Historically, it was an unbelievable performance, particularly after a quarter of an hour or so in the 18th minute on. I mean, they're 1-5 to 1 point down, Mayo, in this match. Wasn't like they had on their whole terms the whole time. They're 7 points down.
Yeah, and you're thinking, here we go again in terms of an All-Ireland final, but I think Andy has been very, and it's funny, on the lead up to the game, you hear what the players are saying to different sources. They're saying Andy's very process driven. So regardless of what's happening or whatever the score is at a certain time, they're always looking to stick to by how they play. And that is obviously going for the 2-pointers. Like, I think their conversion rate from 2-pointers yesterday wasn't great, but that doesn't matter.
Doesn't seem to deter.
Exactly. And the reason why that is, I think that's the beauty of the new rules, is if you are thinking about a mistake that you've made or a miss that you've made, you won't have time because the ball is out and you go again. Whereas maybe in the older rules, you could probably go back to that because it was a 15-on-15 and it might be 3 or 4 minutes before you even look at the ball again. But now it's just snappy, 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 and you don't have time to dwell on anything. And obviously, with the profile of player, especially in the two corners between Dara and Kobe, the way they play, it's do a mistake, do a positive, go again. And that's kind of the way they've been playing all year. And yeah, I think the 2-pointers for them this year, like last year, I think that was probably the biggest stick you'd beat them with, was that they weren't great 2-pointers or they didn't try them. I think it was actually Andy said to Jack Kearney at the start of the year, you kick 2-pointers for your club, why aren't you doing it for Mayo? And Jack has just been, he's gone to a different level because he's been able to kick the 2-pointers, and they've been trying them all year. Like, and they were trying them back in the pre-season league and the FBD league. I remember watching them and they kicked, I think, 7 or 8 in one game. So it's no secret what they've been trying to do. And obviously you look at the big Mayo press, and that's probably something they went away from probably the last 3 or 4 years, I think. Like James Horn's team, the hallmark of, say, Donny Buckley, was tackle hard, press high. They've gone completely back to that, and the rewards they got from that yesterday was just incredible.
The comments are flying in very early doors this morning, before we were even live. Jamie Dorvig can hear the latest. Mayo won't be bothered if they have to wait another 75 years. To win just once is worth the heartache. We were saying that this morning, Donny, weren't we, pre-show? We're saying, you know, whatever about next year, whatever happens there, whatever with Kobe McDonald, whatever he does now, you said it in last week's show, it was like, he should go now, he'll be a mythical figure if Mayo win. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of people in this country, I would say the vast majority, felt that wasn't going to be the case. And look what happened, particularly, as I say, after that first quarter of an hour. The remarkable stuff that we saw.
Unbelievable. And just to touch on Kobe, like, the GA, whatever about Mayo, and Mayo people do their best to try and keep him, I think the GAA should do as much as they can to try and keep him, because he's such a marketable figure. And we're not, obviously, we're all amateurs when we play the game, but he's just in the same sort of echelon as a David Clifford, like somebody who is, you know him, like, we don't even call him by his second name anymore. We just say Kobe and everyone knows who he is. Same with Con O'Callaghan, just call him Con. Like, we should be trying to elevate those as our superstars, and we should be trying to do everything we can to try and keep them. Now, I did mention last week that if they won on Sunday, that it'd be so much easier for him to go, and I still think that.
Yeah.
Like, he's elevated. If he never touches a football again, he's already a Mayo legend, and he's played what, 7 championship games.
We'll get to this later on. But what a championship overall! I mean, like, 3 of the 4 provincial winners, like, yeah, it was seismic in their own right. Armagh's first since 2008. Roscommon winning Connacht again for the first time in a few years, and then Westmeath and Leinster. That alone was exciting. I think the difference last year, the semi-finals and the final weren't great. But this year, I mean, everyone was excited going into the final, and I was saying football is thriving in comparison to hurling. We had the hurling final that we had, which was a fantastic display by Limerick. I mean, look, let's be honest here, right? Like, this is the greatest respect to the Limerick hurlers who won that All-Ireland, to the Spanish footballers who won the World Cup, and to Ryan Fox who won the Open. But last week was built as this super Sunday of sport, highly anticipated, and for a lot of people, it underwhelmed. Yesterday, I don't think we've ever seen the likes of it. And it's one match.
Exactly, yeah. And I think, to paraphrase Jimmy Butler, like, football is the big winner here. Like, you look at all the games, and that's probably the one thing you see now, looking at games, that in the older rules, the game only came alive in the last 10 minutes. You could literally look at your phone sitting in the stand because you just knew it was going to be a game of basketball. Now you just can't take your eyes off it. And there's scoring opportunities, there's one-on-one defending, there's kicking. Like, I can't believe I'm saying it. We're enjoying kick passing and
in football. Amazing. You know, it's just a small thing like that.
Amazing. Even Paddy's beautiful pass to David, it's on the first half. Yes. But the thing about the new rules as well, it was like Kerry's won 5-1, right? At that point, they were all old school scorers, weren't they? There was no two pointers there. So they were just, there was natural scores. Mayo get back into the game courtesy of the two pointer.
Exactly. And
so it's Ryan O'Donoghue, isn't it, who brings them from 1 to 3 points.
Yeah.
And from there they start playing. Because they actually weren't bad when they only had a point on the board. They were just missing.
Exactly, yeah. And they were probably just getting into the final third and just maybe snapping at a few things. And obviously, look, 100% there was going to be nerves. Or even Ryan Donoghue, who had a flawless game, he was probably guilty of a couple of those turnovers as well. But I would have felt when they got back to, I think it was 1-5 to when they got back to 3, I would have felt, okay, they're now they're in the game, they're settled. And then every attack they seemed to have, especially in the first half, whatever about the second half, like the first half when things were, you know, you were up against it, I would have felt their attacking was quite good. It's just probably their execution at the very last, at the last play. But do you know what I feel was a big turn point? I feel Dara Burns free under the Cusick was huge. And for a couple of reasons, to get them back into it, but it was such a tough free. And for a young lad like that,
for himself,
stroke it over the bar, and then all of a sudden he's in the game.
Yeah,
jeez, that's what a talker as well after the match.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Unbelievable! It's brilliant,
unbelievable stuff. Like to have the composure to verbalise what he was trying to at that age.
The eye contact and the intensity of what he's saying.
The best part, 19. Best part for me was when he was talking about watching the hurlers last week.
Yeah,
and the intensity that Limerick played with, and he said, if we play with that, we'll give them hell. And that's what Mayo give Kerry yesterday. They give them hell. They couldn't get out in the second half. The way that they were turning them over, Ryan O'Donoghue, to have the quality that he has as a forward and still play with the intensity that he does, it's something that we don't really see. Like usually players like that are trying to conserve themselves a little bit, but he doesn't try to do that. He sets the tone. Kobe follows, Dara Byrne follows, and the rest of the team follows, and they just... they have the ability just to turn teams over like that and get in their faces, and then it makes it really difficult then to turn the game. One thing I do want to mention is I remember Andy Moran was a regular on Off the Ball before he became the Mayo manager, and around the time that they were losing the All-Irelands, and speaking about it afterwards, he always said that to win an All-Ireland final you need to score a minimum of 20 points is what he said. And in 2016-17-18 they scored 17-19-17. That's where they were falling short. They couldn't get to the 20 mark. Final score yesterday, 120.
120 to 117.
You know, like that's, they needed to do that. Dara Byrne's goal, phenomenal stuff. They could have scored a second goal. Jordan Conroy after the game talking about it, saying that he thought that, Jordan Flynn, he talked about hitting the crossbar.
And then he was like, pulls up the other end and David Clifford missed the 2 point.
I saw myself in lights and then he thought it was going to be the opposite then. He was like, I'm a villain now.
Yeah, that's very, very true. That's how tantalising it was. And then what about Shane Murphy's save then too on Kobe McDonald? And there's so many moments from this match. And just little things as well, like wearing all white. What are they going to do now? In 1951, they wore all white.
It looked class though, didn't it? It looked
like Kildare.
It looked like a final jersey. It was unreal. Like I know there's a little bit of a Kildare in that, but it looked like a jersey for the occasion.
We have loads of comments coming. As I say, we'll get to as many as possible, but keep them flowing. But Dara Smith Nocton, you sat here in end of seat over there on Friday morning when we were going through our predictions, and you went against the whole country. You were no sheep, Jim Gavin would say. You said Mayo. Yeah. Why was this? Was this what you imagined happening? As in how it played out?
I don't know. Like I just thought, I said it in the weeks prior, I never saw Kerry as this unbeatable, like immovable force. I just didn't think that's where they were at right now. It was a great group of players, but the last couple of games they've showed cracks and those cracks haven't been fully exploited. And I thought Mayo were good enough to do that. I think when you look at the freedom of these players, the young players, that's what did it for me. The freedom they were playing with, and it's almost funny, like listening to Dara Byrne after the game, them coming to the All-Ireland finals over the last 15 years or whatever it is as kids and witnessing that hurt almost zapped all nerves from them, because it was as if they're starting from the ground up. But you can't do any worse than the last 10-15 years. Just go out there and play football, and that's the way they played. And
Dara Byrne also said he wasn't nervous.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there was a 19-year-old in Croke Park played an All-Ireland final and he wasn't nervous. That's unique. There's very few teams that can build that, and you can't teach that. That's not something you can coach into players. And I thought, like, the whole thing is just amazing. I just remember, I think it's the first shot we saw after the full-time whistle with Kobe and Jordan Flynn, obviously half-brothers embracing each other. And the look in their eyes, it was almost like that's sport in its purest form. It's like when men are reduced to kind of the glisten in their eyes that they had when they were young boys, like playing football. You could almost see them playing in the backyard, pretending they're winning the All-Ireland. And oh, it was just amazing. And celebrations after, I don't think I've seen such lengthy celebrations after an All-Ireland final. Went on for about an hour on the pitch. And as it should.
And they basically played green and red and mayo on loop, didn't it?
Yeah.
They, and it worked every time. Got
yeah,
the
they praised you by Fat Boy Slim too, which
they,
is a nice
they had Dog Days Are Over.
That was perfect.
Which was great.
That was Lawrence and the Machine was great.
Whoever was on the music and the MC in Croke Park, the timing,
I was saying that to yourselves, yeah, right at the end of the speech, Donia, like the second the speech was over, the music started playing. It was just beautiful the way it was timed. Everything about this was Hollywood like.
It was. And what about the speech? Like Jack Coyne, I never heard him speaking so, like obviously you've heard him in interviews, but the way he just hit the pitch of it perfectly
it just goes to show like people's potential to, you're right, like he's different when he speaks normally.
Exactly, and I love the fact that he referenced the players that went before. I think that is a touch of class, because it's very easy to say we're the boys that did it, but no, he went and he said, there's fellas that we're looking up to, that we wanted to be. And he kind of said, this is not for the team, this is for the whole county. And he was obviously referencing everyone that put on the jersey. I even have goosebumps thinking about it. Like, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, his manager said the same thing. It's back of the Irish Independent Sport. As you can imagine, all back pages are absolutely covered by this, and some front as well. Andy Moran says, this is for all those who have gone before us. Just like was said there, Mayo Bass pays tribute to former players and managers after ending the famine. Promised Land, back of the Irish Daily Star, magnificent Mayo and 75-year wait for Sam. Even just a nice round off, 75 years.
Yeah, it's nice.
And the fact that it was a cloudy, overcast day, a bit of drizzle, the first rain we've had in a while in Dublin, and then right in the final whistle, the sun comes out.
Yeah.
Can we mention a couple of players that mightn't, like, because we'll talk about your Kobe's and your Dara Burns and your Aidan O'Shea's and the players that have gone before. Livingston in goals was unbelievable. David McBrien, what a game he had.
Like first point ever in the championship.
Oh my God. But do you know what? His biggest moment of the game was the intercept for Gavin White's hand pass. Gives it off to Ryan O'Donoghue. Ryan O'Donoghue has the most ludicrous solo run I've seen in Gaelic football in years. It was ridiculous. But who's ahead of him running the whole way? It's David McBrien has just won the ball in his own half. And then he gets the assist to Dara Byrne for the goal. He was immense. Jack Coyne, captain. What a game he had. Dodgy challenge towards the start of the game. It was a bit risky. I was that early on, but
this is the reference to the uppercut.
Yeah.
It was the game, boy. Very true. Very true. Darren McKeenan in touch here. Even as a Dublin fan, I had tears in my eyes watching the celebrations yesterday. Absolutely delighted for everyone connected with Mayo. Well done. Hope Nathan Murphy makes it into work today. That's a good hope for a lot of Mayo people around the country.
Don't know about that.
Know what they're doing right now.
Text Nathan last night. Say, we'll have you on the show. Highly unlikely, was the response. Good comment in here from Shane Colgan, which is an interesting talking point. He said, moving Ryan O'Donoghue out to the middle third was a key part of the game, master move by Moran, which it was. It was a fantastic move. And similarly, the game was screaming out for Kerry to do the same with David Clifford because he wasn't getting the ball at all. And then he does drop outside the arc and he gets that two-pointer with his right foot. Paddy starts coming into the game and you're thinking, oh, this is it. They're turning it. When that two-pointer went over from David Clifford, it was the only two-pointer Kerry scored of the day. I was like, nah, that's it. He doesn't shoot for a two-pointer with his right foot. It goes over the bar.
Yeah.
And then he missed the one with his left foot, which looked like the easier chance. Like not the easier chances as two-pointers go, but it was in the perfect pocket, on his good foot, wasn't under too much pressure. Very surprisingly, put that one wide. I thought he would have came out further a little bit earlier to get Kerry back into the game, but it's tale of two managers and the decision making that they had to make, and I think Andy Moran just got it right.
Yeah, and like in hindsight, Mayo were a perfect defensive system to come up against this Kerry team. Like a player like Dylan Gainey was completely nullified, anonymous all game long, and that's not really down to him. Maybe he could have found more ball himself, but they just suffocated him. He's completely ineffective because he enjoys a bit of space and being able to pick out a pass, or if he gets 2 yards he'll take a score on. He just didn't get that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy Rooney, in all your time playing and watching Gaelic football, is that there yet? No, not yet. All right, we're getting there. We're very excited about this story, but there's a reason we're very excited about it. Don't worry, we'll get to you imminently. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, like in hindsight, like, Mayo's defence is perfectly set up to play against the Kerry team. And I think that was something we acknowledged last week, that Danny Moore and his coaching team, Cullen Boyle and Paddy Talley and all the boys involved there, did a great job in the last few games of tailoring their setup to Louth and the previous fixtures. They didn't really need to do that against Kerry though, because it felt like this setup was actually quite well suited to this game. And maybe that was something that was a bit of an oversight on Kerry's part, maybe, that they expected Mayo to change the system. So it almost looked like they're surprised that they just, oh no, they're pressing again. They're doing the exact same thing they were doing against Louth. Even at the kickout, at times if there was two Kerry players under the ball, a Mayo fella would pick up one fella and just take him away. They're backing their men one on one, and that's kind of what they did against Louth as well.
Yeah, that's kind of a hallmark of what they do, I suppose. Yeah. When they try and press up, they're going to leave one on ones, but that's inevitable, and they're okay with that risk. I think that's the key point of Mayo playing to their strength, is they're happy with the 1v1 risk. But like Damon Fitzmaurice mentioned on commentary after 2 minutes, David Clifford's in an ocean of space here. That's because Mayo are pressed out and they're being brave, and that's why we see all the turnovers. So you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, but it absolutely worked, because I don't think Kerry were ready for the press.
No. My dad, who was 94, it says here from YouTube, and is a massive fan and Mayo and GAA fan, he was at the 1951 final for Mayo. He watched it yesterday with my sister Deirdre, and he said, fantastic. Dad says he'll die happy now.
That's amazing. There was a fella, I was in Tommy O'Gara's pub in Stony Batter watching it, and it must have been 20 minutes after full time, and we were all kind of sitting around. A few people had left the pub, and there was just an older man stood in the corner, like, just quivering to himself. I just couldn't help but walk over and give him a pat on the shoulder and just say, well done. You can be happy now. it's just amazing, the whole thing.
What happens now? Is this a little bit like Rory McIlroy's Masters, where it's like, this could open the floodgates for Mayo football? Or with Kobe going to Australia, I thought John Fogarty had the best line of the day on Kobe. He said, Kobe, gone to Australia on Friday, heaven today. Which was a phenomenal line. And like, does this open the floodgates now for Mayo to kick on and potentially just this, like, there's, as Aidan O'Shea said in his post-match interview, there's no such thing now as Mayo can't win in All-Ireland. Yeah. The curse is gone. All this nonsense is out the window. Suddenly they're going into finals now, and it's just previewing the final and on the merits of the football, as opposed to...
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Like, I think going into any big final or any big game, they'll never be thrown at about the hype. Because they got their All-Ireland medal now, Mayo will be going into all other All-Ireland finals are going into, there'll be none of that nonsense talk about they can't deliver in the final, the Mayo fans get overboard or anything like that. So I think that's a big thing as well, perfect for football.
Tommy Rooney will go again. I was going to ask, in your time playing and watching game of football, in your career of covering the sport for Off the Ball, where does Sunday the 26th of July 2026 sit?
Callum, Donny Smith, I spot you there as well.
Hey, Tommy.
Genuinely, I felt like I needed to be psychologically ready for what was to come. So, because to me, it is the greatest sports story I've ever covered and possibly will ever cover working in Gaelic Games. I'm very privileged in my job. I absolutely love it. You know it. And I'd be close to Andy Moran, who I'm going to have for you in a couple of minutes. Do you know, we would have done season one of the football pod together. So you'd have a soft spot for him, and you might have an extra idea of where this fella might get to, because you're listening to him back in 2021 talking about where he wants to go with Mayo. You've read his book a few times, and you know what way he's wired. So, yeah, I fell into the dreamer camp. Pat Kenny accused me of being a dreamer and John Duggan of being a realist on Sunday morning. And I'll be honest, I'd woken up early that morning, it was 6 o'clock, and I nudged Shifra and I said... She was like, are you okay? I said, Mayo, we're going to win the All-Ireland this morning.
You did
and
not.
She just said, go back to sleep. I swear to God, I just had a feeling. I have no idea what happened in the game. I'm only joking. I do, but the high press, that's something that they got burned for and they got stung for early on in the season. But you'll hear from him now in a minute. He's walking over to me. He's just having a wee chat with Kieran McDonald at the minute. So I didn't want to interrupt it too much, but... the manner in which they played the game that Andy Moran wanted to play, to me, they were true to their principles. They were true to how he had unshackled them and how he had unburdened them. I'm not sure if you heard Jack Kearney talking after the game, but Donny would know this from being in a dressing room. Jack Carney felt unburdened. He felt backed up by his teammates and by his management to take two pointers. And when Mayo had just a point yesterday, Jack Carney scored a worldie into the hill. And early in the second half, when Mayo needed a reason to believe, he sliced over a wonder score into the Davin end. But that isn't just Jack Carney who does that. That's Jack Carney's teammates who said, we need you to do this. We back you. It's Andy Moran and the management team who have said, we need you to shoot. I don't know how many two-point shots he scored last year. I'm pretty sure it was zero. He scored 11 this year. He scored two in the All-Ireland final. And I'm just going to let the boss man, the man who's guided Mayo to their first All-Ireland title in 75 years, slip in here and sit in beside you. So just bear with me for a second. You might chat while Andy gets set up here.
Tony, you called it, you know, the high press.
Yeah, I think it's such an inevitable thing that if Mayo do, it just creates consternation and then the crowd get involved. And then if you're the player trying to come out from that high press, you're in trouble because the Mayo forwards are such good tacklers. And that's the key thing, like the tackling from the Mayo forwards, it's very easy to maybe foul. But right now, being able to tackle and being very, very solid, I think that was just a game changer.
We have Andy Moran. Oh, wow.
Hi, guys.
There
Hi,
he Andy. Is, the All-Ireland winning manager himself. How's this morning treating you?
Not long up now, but it's, as you can tell by the voice, it was a good night. But listen, it's, I think this morning is when it sinks in and you come down here and there's media to do and, Joe, you have to go to the children's hospital and stuff like that. And it's an amazing feeling and, Joe, one that we're kind of very privileged to have.
Andy, what did you say at halftime? 1 point down.
Asher, we were delighted. I think we won the period, the little split before halftime. I think we won it by 5 points. Mm. And we seen actually in the semi-final, Dublin won 3 kickouts just before halftime and they won 3 kickouts just after halftime. That was their period. But I think they came out of them maybe 20 minutes and it was level. Where we had made a 5-point gain in that moment. And we said, if we can win one or two kickouts here in the start of the second half, and we can go after it, we've got a huge chance here. And in fairness to the boys, we won the throw-in and all of a sudden we got 2 or 3 points in the spin and we were away.
Andy, did you have like a temptation from the semi-final to maybe look at how Dublin defended Kerry and in particular Clifford and maybe use that as a template rather than obviously do your famous high press? Like, was there a conversation, say, with the management or with the players thinking maybe we should do what Dublin did because it worked so well for Dublin? Or was it all about just backing yourselves and backing the way you play?
Come on, Donny. How are you? No, we did take a lot from Dublin, if I'm being honest. Even though we press high, but when we got back into the low block, you could take little... Padraig O'Quiffey-Byrne was doing a job off Mark O'Shea in that semi-final where he was coming to the left-hand side and just protecting Davy Byrne a tiny bit in that space. So we did a lot what Dublin did when we got back into that 11v11. But listen, we're a completely different team. We were trying to all year implement this way of playing where John Ryan leads it. You know yourself, Donny, as a corner forward, that's so hard to do. But we have probably a forward in there that could play a right half back. He's that good of a tackler, you know, and he led it. And we just two young kids in beside him that Byrne is a really good tackler. Kobe, like, he's so quick, it's hard to get out by him. And what we did then, we put Sam on Gavin White. So it just allowed us to kind of press them a tiny bit higher, you know.
Do you know, away from that tactical plan, Andy, how do you describe or explain even the fearlessness and bravery and courage your players showcased on the ball in possession?
Yeah, it's great talking about it this morning when you actually win, but I'm sure if we didn't get over the line, we'd be probably talking about, did we overkill the 2-pointer? Joe, we left an awful lot of ball short. At times I was kind of smiling with a bit of anxiety because we kept leaving the ball short and kept just missing that shot. But we committed to it before the game. If the 2-pointer is on and you think it's on, you go for it. And it was great. It was great to see it. I think Ryan kind of led that again. But like Kobe could have come out with 7 or 8 points there yesterday, but he just kept swinging. He kept going for a shot and all of a sudden he comes out with 3 points. Derek comes out with 1-3 and Ryan comes out with 5. So it was a great return from the three boys, you know.
Just 5 days obviously after the Roscommon game, I actually found myself at your Limerick game. We had a club league game beside you, I'm sure. like, was it a, not that it was a, would have been a hard sell, but like, what was the vibe like coming into? I'm sure you probably took a few days off after that, and I think Ryan mentioned that kind of like the likes of himself and Jack kind of took the players in, had a chat. Like, from your perspective, like going from, say, that first meeting back together on the Friday to play that game, and then going from there 3 months later to be All Ireland champions, like, how has that been a progression in terms of, like, have the players taken this by, all by the scruff of the neck, or has it been just a step by step thing where you've just looked at the next game and the next game?
A bit of both, Donny. Great question. That I was talking to Fergie O'Donnell. He was up there that night, all right. But he, the Limerick game and all the other games that came out with it allowed us to put fellas in place. So, for example, Jack Livingston would have started that night against Limerick. It would have been his first. The lads that played against Roscommon would have went and did a training session. But the lads came back. They met on the Thursday night. We played on the Friday, and they just said, let's just go after this. And what they committed to, I thought, Donny, against yourselves, against Roscommon, is we got caught between two styles. We wanted them to press really high, and the lads were still, when the going got tough, going back into that low block a tiny bit. So it just takes a while. And what that 5 weeks, you remember, Donny, we used to always get 4 or 5 weeks between games.
Yeah.
And but there was no break. Like, if you look at Roscommon's schedule from National League to when they were out, it was just 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. You have no time to plan and no time to prepare. Where we got 5 weeks, that was the start of it that Friday night. And it just, we could implement the plan and say, lads, this is the way we're going. You can either play this way or you don't get playing. And we just kind of kept pressing them high, and it just gave us the time to do it. And then if it got to work, the lads seen the progress to it. And then that night against Meath, after 20 minutes, it just took off. And then the real belief then came after it.
Andy, I know you have to go. You have loads on this morning. Thanks a mil for hopping on to us.
No, thanks, lads, anytime.
Cheers. Congratulations.
Congrats. Huge.
And that's see class, isn't it? To talk to your Ireland winning manager hours after, just up, out of bed.
Very lucky that I would have come across Andy a small bit in terms of just, you'd seen knocking around Boyle, and Balladrine is a million miles away, and obviously being with Leitrim, but he's such a sound man. Like, genuinely such a gent, and you can see the way he chats, the obsession he has.
I'd say even dealing with Andy from a production point of view for off the ball, if you ask him to come on, he'll send you a voice note, and it's also always the most lovely voice note. It's ultimately a no, but he'll say it in such a way that you're not even annoyed.
Yeah, like, you feel, good about, you feel good about hearing a no.
That's the manager in him, you know. But
yeah,
sure.
Tell you a quick story from yesterday, because I know we have a busy show and I'll be gone soon enough. better voices taking to off. Come on to the show. I was walking through Smithfield yesterday after the game, because I had a look in the Boar's Head just to see what the crack was, you know. Just had a pint of water myself now. But I was walking back from it, and I just heard some commotion on the road. There's a lot of beeping going on. I was like, oh, a few Mayo cars must be come past each other or something. And it was the Mayo team bus. I was like, oh Jesus, okay, right, I'm gonna have a look at this now. And I was at a crossing, and the bus had come around to this crossing and stopped because it was a red light, and it was kind of blocking the actual pedestrian crossing itself, so I couldn't go anywhere. But I had a Mayo jersey on because I was, you know, in spirit Mayo yesterday. And Cullen Boyle and Andy Moran were at the front of the bus and spotted me and gave me the thumbs up and started going, ah. Now, for a second I was like, oh, I feel bad, like, because I'm not from Mayo. Like, I shouldn't be experiencing this moment. It should be someone from Mayo. But I just found myself going, yeah! Back to them. And I just ran away because I was like, I can't soak in this moment too much.
Sorry, can I just say, how about the hooter?
That was perfect.
That is such a great way to kill the curse of 75 years.
Yeah.
We were talking about the hooter all year long. Like, why did they change it back? We had Jim Gavin in this very chair on Friday morning. I said, Jim, like fair play to you, because I'm on a round fight eventually. But the way it ended, it was just
perfect.
Beautiful. Loud noise never been nicer to hear.
Can I make one final point before we move on?
Sure.
Because we do have plenty of guests coming up. Going down the stretch, Colin. Last play of the game to win it all. Ireland. What happens? What does Tommy Conroy do? Does he go for the goal? Does he send it to Kobe? No, he doesn't. He fists it over the bar.
I'd say, because that's how you win an all. If it wasn't for the fisted point, there'd be no Mayo win this morning. I tell you that for nothing. Jesus, McBride's first point in the championship.
I'm a big enough man to admit he should have hand passed it to Kobe.
Put him across. Give Kobe.
obvious goal. Give us a send off. He did the right thing. I know. He did the right thing. All right. 8:09 a.m. on this very, very special off the ball breakfast this Monday morning. Hope you're enjoying the show. Get the comments flying in. As I said, we'll get to as many as possible. Off the ball breakfast is with Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film coated tablets contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. It's a brand new cash machine.
Off the balls cash machine.
Yeah, frightful amount of money. €303,000 exactly is up for grabs, and the deadline is actually a bit of time away. It's Friday week, the 7th of August, 3 p.m. So you've about a week and a half here to enter this competition. It's the same rules as always. To play, text OTB to 57557. It'll cost you €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You have to be over 18. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations, and the full terms are on our website at offtheball.com. So the deadline to play this time is Friday the 7th of August at 3 p.m. That day, it's €303,000 exactly. Stay tuned. Plenty more Mayo reaction to come.
Off the Ball's cash machine.
Now's your chance to be on Off the Ball.
I just wanted to leave a wee voice message for Colm. Wanted to thank him for introducing me to the phrase, not too big, not too small, just the size of Donegal.
That's right. Get those WhatsApp voice notes in. 087-9180-180.
It's something now that I would reach for every once in a while, you know, in conversation, and it goes down well. So thank you very much, Colin.
That's 087-9180-180.
Thanks for all the great sports coverage, boys.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
It would be good if his Cork supporters and Cork people could treat him like their grandchildren, you know, as a grandparent and not a parent. So, because you can't disappoint your grandparent.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.